Americans keep casting ballots. I'm Dave Anthony. Fox News is up to almost 32 million who voted early. Four more states will allow that in person tomorrow, including Michigan, where former President Trump will rally tonight after going to Austin, Texas.
He's going to sit down with Joe Rogan for a podcast interview on Spotify, which should reach millions of voters, especially with young men, where Trump has been having a lead. Vice President Harris turned down the opportunity to speak with Rogan.
Fox's Mark Meredith in Traverse City, Michigan.
One thing we are going to hear from Trump today a lot about is about immigration while he's in Texas, and he's going to campaign with Texas Senator Ted Cruz while down there.
Well, despite Texas not being a battleground state, Vice President Harris will also go there today, with a big focus on abortion rights. But Fox's Jackie Heinrich reports from Houston.
Most voters who feel strongly about abortion have already made up their minds about who they're supporting the election, making pretty clear that Harris's strategy in this final stretch is less about pulling in undecided voters than mobilizing the base. In fact, ahead of her trip to this border state, Harris dodged answering how she would handle a top issue for undecided voters, immigration.
Next Tuesday, a week before Election Day, Vice President Harris will hold a campaign event in Washington at the site of the Trump speech, January 6, 2021, just before the Capitol riot. And nearly 4 years later, two New York brothers have been arrested, joining hundreds of others prosecuted. They face felony disorder and assault charges.
Federal prosecutors say Reynold Voisin was seen attacking officers with a crutch, stolen police riot shield, and a blue pole, seen beating and dragging an officer in one of the day's most violent assaults. Roger Voisin carried a two-way radio and GoPro camera on a stick, accused of attacking officers with a pipe and a nail-studded wooden table leg.
That's Fox's Tanya J. Powers. A federal judge has just sided with the Justice Department, blocking Republicans in Virginia trying to remove 1,600 people alleged to be non-citizens from voter rolls. On Wall Street, the Nasdaq surged to a new record high this morning. It's currently up 250 points. America's listening to Fox News.
Hi, I'm Martha Stewart. Every year, more than 4 million pets enter shelters here in the United States. Many of these animals are rescued from desolate conditions. My friends at American Humane have been helping animals for more than 140 years. They help ensure that pets have a safe, warm shelter during times of need, especially during natural disasters. But pets need forever homes too. Adopting a shelter pet enriches the lives of one's family and allows shelters to help more animals awaiting care. Consider adopting today and take some time to learn more about American Humane's other work, including their efforts to rescue animals in need, certify the humane treatment of farm animals, help ensure the safety of animals on the silver screen, and protect our planet's amazing endangered species at AmericanHumane.org.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios, 560 KBLU.
A very good Friday to all of you from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. A vigil held at the Yuma Main Library in recognition of Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Amberlee's Place is one of the organizations that works alongside the Victims' Rights Committee. They say this event helped recognize and support those who have suffered from domestic violence. The Yuma Police Department is reminding residents that tampering with political signs is a crime. In Arizona, removing or defacing political signs is classified as a Class 2 misdemeanor. And people throughout the Fortuna Foothills are upset about an approved rate increase for Foothills Water and Sewer LLC. Sewer customers will see an increase of over 60% to their bill. Water customers, who use an average of over 3,000 gallons a month, can expect an almost 6% increase in their water bill. These new rates go into effect on November 1st. And join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports.
Our Arizona Corporation Commissioners make water choices that impact us all, whether our children are forced to time their showers, whether we rip up gardens or store away bath water. This reality may be closer than we think. You have the power to decide who leads Arizona's water future. You can protect this precious resource by voting in the ACC election. Make your voice heard this election year for your children, our families, our future.
Paid for by Environmental Defense Fund.
You may know me as Ruben Gallego, but I've had a lot of titles over the years. First, son, or mijo, by my single immigrant mom who works so hard to make ends meet, and brother, by my three incredible sisters. I've been called janitor, line cook, construction worker, doing any job I could to help out since we didn't have much. I earned the title graduate from Harvard University, I was called infantryman in the Marines when my company took some of the heaviest losses in Iraq. I'm called congressman, proudly representing Arizona the past 10 years. But my favorite title of all is dad to my two beautiful kids, whose future I'm fighting for every day. That's why today, my title is candidate for Senate. I'm fighting to lower costs and secure our border. I'm Ruben Gallego, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message because for me, it's never been about titles. It's about standing up for hardworking Arizonans like you.
Paid for by Gallego for Arizona.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Derek Eggberg. Another nice Friday morning in Yuma.
Oh, gorgeous outside right now.
It is nice, except my car didn't start this morning.
I just thought you walked to work. I thought you were getting some extra exercise.
I brought the bicycle.
Could be the auto shop you have that's doing the work in your car might not be up to par.
Well, you know, I called him at 4 in the morning and accused him of that.
No one picked up?
No, he picked up. Okay. I got that inside number.
It's not the maintenance. He forgot to put gas in it. It's fine.
Nah, it'll be all right.
So anyways, as people might know, I'm with the financial advisory practice, Yuma Investment Group. Derek's a mortgage lender. And driving down on 16th Street, I noticed a change in your sign on your building.
Now you notice that already, so you do pay attention.
Yeah. How long has that been up there? A week or two?
Just a week.
Oh, okay.
Just a week.
So.
Went up, actually, technically Friday morning last
okay.
week.
So I'm an observant person then,
You are an observant person. I don't know how often you get down into the valley, but you caught me.
They call it observant eventually.
So what's going on with all that?
You know, some really good opportunities to help people locally. And so, you know, nothing wrong with the former companies, but through mergers and acquisitions, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, we want to make local decisions like we have always talked about. So Mortgage One is our group of people here in town. We're still the only company in town that has an underwriter in branch. And people say, hey, we have in-house underwriting. That means somebody in New York City who works for the company is still the underwriter. No, we have still our local underwriter, two offices from me, and we still understand local people, local income. So it's really a group of committed people who are now way more cost effective because we also don't have to support a huge corporate infrastructure like you and I were talking about off air. I'm the IT guy. I'm the marketing guy. I don't need huge departments to do those things. So we've removed lots of layers of heft. And you'll see very sharp pricing to you all as consumers.
Good. So it's good for the consumer.
Mm-hmm. Very, very much so. It really doesn't change because of the operation we have. It really doesn't change much for us because we get to keep the same level of service, the same level of communication. But I just don't have to charge some of the things that used to be charged.
Yeah. And when the bigger corporations you get, the more red tape. And the more add-ons, right?
You know, in some cases, in other cases, they're really good. So again, I don't want to say anything was bad. Here's an opportunity that a local group of people can stay local and make really good decisions here. And everybody's super excited to show Yuma what a small local company can do.
Yeah. And I asked you a couple of questions before we got started, but company's not as small. You said that based out of...
Based out of California, so yeah. Carlsbad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's not a small company. They've been in the home office has been in business for 10 years as a retail mortgage operation. So, again, it's not a, oh, my gosh, startup, is it going to fail?
Yeah.
This is just...
Well, I didn't want listeners to think it was like small, your company.
Kind no. Of
yeah.
No, we're aligned with a very safe, secure company, and it is very well managed, very well capitalized, but... there's literally no layers of anything in between us and the ownership of the company. So all of that extra overhead, I mean, you deal with overhead all day long, right?
Yes.
You know, how many layers of overhead, if you removed, would make your customers more money because you wouldn't have to have certain things? That's really what we're talking about.
Yeah. Or you can spend more money on things that are either more efficient or a better experience for the client. Uh-huh. So we're good.
So, yep, looking forward to it. That was kind of a, you know, again, soft open. We haven't really done a lot of marketing, you know, promotion stuff. But very excited.
I'm sure you're going to have another taco party, right, in your parking lot?
Yeah, you know, that might just be happening, Tom.
We want to go, Russ and I.
You will always have an invite as long as you're on your best behavior.
So one of the things I want to talk about today is, you know, we're getting close to elections. Mm-hmm. Less than 10 days, give or take, 10 days, I don't know, somewhere in there. But I ask a lot of people, family, friends, people, coworkers, you know, what's the big difference on the, what they want to change with the tax code? And the tax code affects everybody. And, you know, people in our business are like, hey, make me some money if you invest some money. And I say, well, there's a point of making money, but there's also a point of not paying as much in taxes. And if you can not pay taxes, that's making you money. So there's really different ways to make money. So I don't know. Don't want to put anyone on the spot, but there are some changes that I think are pretty apparent with what they want to do. I guess I can start on the Trump side. He's talking about right now the corporate tax is 21%, and he wants to lower that to 20%. Not a big deal, but it is lower. And Harris wants to up it to 28%.
Okay.
So from a business standpoint, you know, one's equal or a little less, and the other one's, you know, 28% from 20, what's that math? About a 25%, 30% increase?
That's 45%.
Yeah. So that's a big deal. They also want to give more tax credit for kids, and which, you know, could help out families. Right now it's a $2,000 tax credit. Trump's talking about $5,000, and Harris wants to go $5,000, but if it's a newborn, they want to make it $6,000 for like a new baby.
Okay.
So I guess, and I don't know, you know, what's happening around the world and the United States is people aren't having enough babies, right, to keep economy and jobs going.
Yeah, Elon Musk has been kind of talking about that for quite some time, that, you know, the population, you know, is not growing the way it needs to. So, yes.
Yep. And Trump wants to get some tax incentives and tax credits to promote home ownership. He's not really saying what that is. He's just throwing that out there. And you being in the mortgage business, your ears probably perk up on these things. Mm-hmm. But Harris wants to actually give a $25,000 credit for a new house for people.
Don't even get me started on that.
But that means more houses are sold, which means your business probably goes up.
let's put a pin in that. We'll come back to that. Why some of these things actually are going to wreck the market. But, you know, let me know when you want me to pontificate on that one.
Now, the other big thing is Trump, he did in 2017, they did a tax cut. So income taxes went down across the board for everybody. I think the highest bracket's now like 37%. He wants to keep that cut in place, and he wants to make it permanent. So not extend it, but make it permanent. And I don't know how he can do that. But and Harris basically wants to keep that tax thing in place. And I'm not sure about the permanent thing, but keep it in place. But anybody who makes more than $400,000, they want to move the tax bracket back up from 37 to 39.6. So basically, the old additive of, you know, now $400,000 nowadays, I don't know if you consider yourself rich. Mm-hmm. I mean, pretty good money in Yuma, but if you live in L.A. or some other big city,
you're going to starve.
$400,000, you know, pay the bills, right?
Yeah.
So that's a big deal. But the biggest thing, which is kind of weird, is for the ultra rich, which means you have to have at least $100 million in net worth, they want to do something called an unrealized capital gains tax. And this is Harris, where basically anytime any asset goes up, house, real estate, car, stock, even though you don't sell it, they want you to pay tax on it. And they want the tax to be 25%.
So,
which is kind of crazy because
I don't even understand how you would do that, because other than now you have to register everything. So all of the gold you have in your safe that has just gone up 30% this year, Tom, now you have to pay 25% tax on that even though you haven't taken the cash out?
Yeah.
How does that work? Or well, I'm sure your home has gone up 10%.
Sure. You have a good year with their house? Well, first of all, I'm not over $100 million. So if it goes down...
If it goes down, are they going to pay the money back to you?
No.
Oh, you mean they don't give it back, Russ? Come on.
What a lot of people don't realize, too, is a lot of these people that are pretty wealthy, they're not as liquid as you think. So they own assets. They own companies, properties.
Well, farmers own a farm and all that property.
Buildings, you know, but they don't own. So it's going to be a big money suck because when you have to pay your tax, that's cash, right? I mean, that's money. So that's going to really put a damper on some of these people that, you know, like it or not, a lot of these people take the risk and have the vision to go out and start something from nothing. I mean, I read somewhere all of the millionaires that Microsoft has created, secretaries, janitors, you know, and I think it's in the tens of thousands.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some changes there. I mean, one wants, you know, kind of status quo, keep things as is. Couple cuts here and there, but the other one definitely wants taxes to go back up. So,
you know, what's interesting is what I hear you saying is we need to make a lot of money for taxes under Harris's plan, which means ultimately they know they're spending way too much and they don't have the resources coming in, but they're just not willing to say it, right? You know, the national debt is spiraling out of control. You either have to ramp up the economy so everybody pays, or you have to not ramp up the economy and charge everybody way more. I think it's an easy decision.
So right now if you're a public company and you buy back your stock, which is really just a purchase, right? I mean, it's a transaction. There's a 1% excise tax on that. And I'm not sure who started that, but it's on. The other thing is Harris wants to make hers 4%. So, you know, a transaction as far as buying back stock, which should be a pretty easy transaction. I mean, you buy back $100 million of your company stock.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So if you buy your own stock back, you have to pay more. But if you go buy somebody else's stock, you don't.
Yeah.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, they're getting corporate America, right? It's geared towards pinching corporate America.
And you wonder why half these companies moved overseas previously.
Yep.
Yeah, truthfully. They did.
And then speaking of that, you know, the big thing is the tariffs, right? You've heard that many times from Trump. So he's talking about putting a 10% tariff on anything coming in, products that aren't U.S., and 60% if it's from China. And then he's talking about if the corporate tax, he wants to, you know, it's 21 right now. He wants to move it to 20. But he says that basically it would drop to 15% if the businesses are here in the United States. Well, let me see. Allow businesses to expense their asset purchases. So basically, if they buy American products, that corporate tax could even go to 15%, which is a pretty big, you know, drop. So
it's incentive.
It's definitely incentive to bring stuff back to the States.
Yeah, and there's people out there that say that, you know, Harris and all saying, well, that's a Trump tax. He's taxing the people because all that's going to make your goods higher. But when Trump was in earlier and he did the tariffs to China heavier than that, nothing went up.
Well, not only that, but they could have done away with the tariffs. They kept them, right?
They kept some. I don't know if they kept them all.
They've kept them all.
Did they?
For China, they did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for China,
I didn't know
they did.
That.
So, you know, if it's not working, why would you keep them?
Right.
But I kind of agree. Like, economics, prices will go up. I mean, that's just how it is. But the flip side, if you have more prosperity in the United States, you know, people might be willing to have the extra money to pay more. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and now I want to go back to what you talked about, the proposal, which is not a plan yet. It was just a floated talking point. That $25,000 for a first-time homebuyer. What do you think that's going to do to the market? In your opinion, Russ, in your opinion.
It's going to raise the prices.
Yes.
You know, supply-demand.
More cash, we'll charge more.
Here's the problem with, and again, There are some great first-time homebuyer programs out there right now. There are lots of them that you really don't need much money at all. But if you had a free $25,000, Russ, yep, and I needed to buy a home and you did, who do you think could offer more for the home because you've got a free $25,000 in your pocket?
Well, I got an advantage because I got cash.
So we're going to talk about some of the things that this will trickle down on after the break. Keep everybody waiting. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, good morning, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Tom Rush, Russ Clark, Derek Eggeberg talking money, markets, credit, all kinds of good stuff. It's going to be a great weekend. Starting to cool off by Monday, Tuesday. It's still going to be a little warm this weekend. So I notice you're in shorts today, planning on a hot day.
Yeah, actually, this weekend's tomorrow's my 28th anniversary.
Congratulations. Oh, congratulations.
Really?
I'm
that old, yeah. Wow. So my wife scheduled something a long time ago, so went to San Diego around lunchtime. So
there you go. All right.
Decided not to dress up today.
There you go. I like it.
Yeah.
That's great.
So just before the break, we were talking about one of those proposals, and this is the reason I hate advertising in politics. People float things just to get eyeballs and ears, but they don't really pay attention to what it could do. So again, going back to that potential floated plan of $25,000 to a first-time homebuyer. Number one, there's so many products out there right now, you don't need to take free money from the government to dump it. There's already ways to do it. But number two...
I'm not familiar with that. So you're saying there's actually free money out there?
There's all kinds of first-time homebuyer programs, grants, and down payment assistance. You know, literally, I was just talking to a guy yesterday that he wants to buy a $325,000 home that with all of the down payment assistance programs that we can combine, he's going to need about $1,675 out of his own pocket.
And a lot of that income base?
Well, there are income-based ones. His is not, but there are income-based plans. There's area plans. Some work in Yuma. Some work in Maricopa. There's job-based programs.
So if you had to come up with $1,600, if they didn't cover any of that, what would you have to come up with?
Well, you'd have to put 3.5% down, so that's $11,750.
Okay. So it's
he's getting just under $10,000.
85% discount.
Yeah. So... But when you go down that road and say, okay, $25,000, now you have people overbidding on the homes, just like Russ admitted he would outbid me for the home because he's got free money.
Well, I don't want you to live in my neighborhood.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have people outbidding, or you have people who now feel like it's okay to go spend their money on other debt because they don't have to stress about some of these things. But my concern is if you gave all of the first-time homebuyers $25,000, what did you really just do to the sales price of homes in most first-time homebuyer neighborhoods? You probably just raised them $15,000 to $20,000, which is 7%, 7.5% more, which means you just made the entire market increase in price for everybody who's not a first-time homebuyer.
But because people leverage that down payment with the mortgage, it should go up higher than $25,000, right?
Well,
because it's a leverage play.
And now you're talking about the what if on a what if that I do believe that could happen. But the simple fact that supply and demand, if you dumped in that many more buyers, you're going to have that much more demand. You're going to have prices go up plus the overbidding.
So you can use your Roth IRA money, the principal for, they call it a first-time home buyer. Mm-hmm. But really, a first-time home buyer means that you don't have to have a home for 2 years or 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
That's it?
So is this the same way here where you can get $25,000 even if you sit out of the market for a little bit?
Or? No. No. So number one, you can't have owned a property, not bought, but can't have owned. So you have to have nothing in your name.
Okay.
But if you read actually some of the fine prints, they were one of the plans that was floated is not you or your mother, father could have owned a home in the last. So, yeah.
Like it, even your parents?
There were some interesting caveats with the first plan that was floated. So it's very restrictive.
So it seems like it's geared towards younger people and poor people.
Yeah.
Because how many parents don't own a home? I mean, I'm not saying I'm privileged, but my parents have always owned a home, give or take, you know?
And
so that would cut me out if I was a
it would. It
new
would
college kid or something?
Under their plan, or at least under the original floated plan, which, again, they've had a couple of iterations of it. But when you
but
look
don't you think the younger generation would take advantage of that more than the older?
Sure. But it is also designed to get people's eyeballs and ears paying attention to it. And maybe not read all the fine print. Oh, my gosh, this person's going to do this for me, so I need to go get the vote.
Yeah.
And I really do believe that kind of a thing is designed to purchase votes. Now, I'm going to go backwards. You know, back in 2009, we had the $7,500 tax credit and then the $8,000 tax credit for first-time homebuyers. And those were, one of them was fronted as an IRS refund on your tax return. And there was a payback period for the $7,500 that you actually had to pay that back through your tax return.
That's not bad. If you have to borrow it, then you pay it back over time.
And there again, that plan to me made sense because you got the money with no interest, if you will, and you paid it back over time. So it was a wash. But if we already can't control our national debt and we already don't raise enough taxes, where in the holy heck are we going to get $25,000 per person free money just to buy a home?
Yeah. The other thing about this is when you own a house, you have to have some discipline, right? You got to pay your bills on time, hopefully a little discipline to keep the yard up and such. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me if there's a free money grab, a lot of people will probably be able to buy a house, but the question is, would they be able to keep one, right?
Well, you're 100% right. And what I would love to think is there needs to be some first-time homebuyer education. There needs to be some responsibility by the loan officer and or the real estate agent, because, again, what you're talking about is budgeting and making sure you can afford your bills. And, you know, the number one thing I see nobody who walks into my office ever understands what maintenance on a home is. And I always say budget 1%. So, Tom, if your house is $300,000, you better budget $3,000 a year for maintenance somehow, whether it's light bulbs, AC filters, the yard, the sprinklers.
Yeah.
Nobody ever budgets those things. They go, oh my gosh, I can't afford that new hot water heater. Well, it's 28 years old and it's sparking in the garage. You know it's going to go out at some point.
Yeah, the toilet that never, you know, runs right, so just you replace it.
Do you still have one that's turned off, just the water's off completely?
We used to. You know, we were single days. You just turn it back on real quick, turn it off. Yeah,
I think everybody's done that, but that's the, did I not save the money for it or do I just not have the time to fix it? And so there's a lot of learning lessons for a first-time home buyer. And let's be brutally honest. If you use an FHA loan, which is what most first-time home buyers do, Russ, how much percentage-wise down does an FHA buyer need to come in with?
I think it's 5%.
No, 3.5%.
It's only 3.5%.
So if you said that $325,000 home that we just used as an example, 3.5% is $11,750.
You already knew that right off the top of your head.
Well, I do math in my
head.
Pretty
good. All right.
You know, I'm like Rain Man.
Okay.
Question for you. If you only need $11,750 for a home that is literally a third of $1 million, why are they floating $25,000? Why are they floating more than double what you need for a down payment?
Votes.
It's an optical number. It has nothing to do with what's needed to buy the home. I mean, let's be real. 3.5% down on a $750,000 home would be about $25,000. What first-time home buyer needs to buy a $750,000 home?
That's the same. They're gonna buy more expensive houses and
yes.
not be able to afford them.
And you're going to drive up the prices on all these things. So I'm really sorry. A first-time home buyer does not need $25,000. There are down payment assistance programs out there. We do a lot of them. And there's great programs that are not going to wreck the market nor drive up home prices.
So talking about mortgages, what's the rates right now? I haven't paid too much of attention. Are they down to 6.5?
No. Well, they are. They're in that range for people with good credit. you can get them with certain programs, certain credit scores that start with a 5. But I will tell you, the last 2.5 weeks, almost 4 weeks, have been unkind to us. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And again,
does that mean that they think the Fed might not lower rates? Because the jobs report came out and got heated things up a little bit.
Well,
right?
the Fed already pontificated that they said, oh, we might actually have rates too low and inflation too low. You heard that one, right?
After the one cut.
Yeah. Yeah. So if they're already floating the idea that we might have inflation too low and we need to raise it again, yeah, the market is not reacting well to that at all.
You know what's funny about the Fed is, like, they could literally say one thing 1 week and then all of a sudden, like, go 180 and no one really, you know, tells them much, right?
Well, you can't.
I mean, if you're a business owner or you're a CEO of a company and you're that much all over the map, you know, oh, rates are going down next week. Oh, no, we underrated it. Just amazes me how they can.
Let's dig in here a little bit. How could you tell them what to do or hold their feet to the fire when they're not actually even a governmental organization?
Yeah. No, you can't. But you think someone would give them a hard time about yanking people around, because literally the story could come out, you know, completely different every other week. And people make decisions on that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, how am I going to wait till rates go down, those 2 more cuts to buy my house? And then next week, rates go back up because of...
I still hear people saying, oh, I'm not going to buy a home. I'm going to wait till rates come down. You know, when we were talking about
2.9% again,
not unless we ever have another COVID and another almost Wall Street meltdown. The only reason we got down there the first time is what? Do you remember what the program was called that the Fed had? Quantitative easing. There was QE1, QE2, QE3.
Money pumped in the system.
They bought billions and trillions of bonds, mortgage bonds, commercial bonds, junk bonds.
Artificially drove the price down.
Yes. They literally were buying everything. And for a while there, they had $8 trillion worth of bonds stacked on their balance sheet. Cool. They're making lots of interest on bonds that they bought. And now they drove the price down for you and I as a consumer. So it was very good. I mean, let's be honest. The people who got in with the 2s and the 3s and the 4% interest rates are smiling, but we'll never see that again unless your rich uncle with the big checkbook comes back into the market.
You know what? I mean, I'm not a smart guy, but I was looking at it. Mexico and Dubai, I believe, when the rates were low like that, did 100-year bonds, and the rate they got was like cheap. I think it was like 3.8% or something. So I always told myself, you know, we had a lot of debt at that time. But why would they not go further out than 30 years? I mean, if you had the magic wand and it was your money, you would do it. I mean, you would say, this is a no-brainer. Just amazing no one really pushed for that. I don't get it.
Well, if you're talking residential mortgage, I don't know.
Well, I'm talking about the debt that the country has, and it's all being refinanced.
Yeah.
If you know rates are low, push it out to 100 years if they let you. Or push it out to 50 years. I mean, but Mexico was smart enough. They did that. They did a 100-year bond,
which
probably means the banks were buying them.
I would say somebody's buying the debt somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, my only fear with that is it's kind of like if all your credit cards are racked up and you do that one debt consolidation loan and it feels really good and now you're in a good spot. What do 50% of people go do within the next 6 months to a year? Rack up the other credit cards again. And now you got twice as much debt. You know, so
when this debt keeps coming due and they, you know, it's coming due every day probably, and they have to reprice it at a higher level. And that's why but I think this year we tacked on so far over 2 trillion or almost 3 trillion and more deficit. So it's going to come quicker.
Well, you are in the commercial space. How many commercial loans that small business people have are on 5-year resets?
So most of them.
So every 5 years, they're going to come due and reset to wherever the market is. Now, think of it back in 2018, 2019, when the market was really good and a lot of these purchases were done. Some of these commercial notes are in the mid-4s. Man, they're going to readjust to 6s and 7s and 8s. The amount of debt that's going to come due over the next 12 to 24 months, like you say, to the small businessman that has 1 commercial note, sure. 2 commercial notes. I mean, Russ, you got a small shop?
Yep.
Okay. Commercial notes on it?
Nope.
Okay. But how many people in that space have commercial notes on the real estate?
It's normal. Yeah, I'm Abby Normal.
And you're from the movie Young Frankenstein as well?
There you go.
Okay, there you go, Gene Wilder. You know, when you look at that, how many of the small businesses in your space could that cripple if their interest rate on their commercial note went from, say, 4.5 to 6.5 and literally went up almost 50%?
It's another brick in the wall, buddy. That's...
I go on Pink Floyd songs?
Pink Floyd on you right there.
Come on, yeah. You can't get me on these. You really can't.
Yeah. I kind of think, you know, maybe the small business owner could stomach that better. I think the people that aren't going to be stomach it are the ones that own, you know, a high-rise in San Diego that they paid, you know, $450 million, and now it's worth, you know, $220 million, and then the mortgages are going up. Mm-hmm. So I think it's gonna hurt bigger real estate deals like that aren't profitable.
So rearranging the debt, you know, again, if you can, great. But here's the thing we all got to pay attention to. There's a lot of people that don't have the equity in something to rearrange the debt.
Right.
You know, some of these commercial...
Especially the newer businesses.
Yeah. Yeah. You got in just enough to open the doors, and you may not have the equity position to refinance the commercial debt or the residential debt.
Yeah.
You know, you go refinance your car. If your car's worth 20 grand and you owe 30 because it's upside down, the new bank isn't going to refinance you because you don't have any equity in it.
I think a lot of small business owners don't go in. They start a business, they usually don't own their building, you know, because they don't want that much more risk.
I mean, maybe the new business starting, but yeah, the guy who just did it and said, hey, I'm taking the risk on myself, you know, the woman who says, hey, I'm going to open up this shop and here it is. And you think, man, I hope you planned really well. Because
then I talk to business owners even around Yuma, and I'm like, well, you own your building, right? Because they've been there forever. Oh, no, we rent. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if you would have done this 25 years ago, you know, you'd be cash flowing yourself. But for whatever reason.
You know, but again, go back to where we started, and we'll get back to your tax plans if you want. That $25,000 tax credit is going to possibly wreck that market if it actually came to fruition. Yes, it's going to help some people, but there's already those programs out there that you literally don't need much money to get into a home.
Oh.
And you're not giving two times or three times the amount of money needed as a down payment. I don't know. Could you? Are they saying you pocket the rest of the cash? Is it?
Hey, buy furniture.
Well, you know, there's the thing. When you float a number, but you don't actually have the rest of the details, it gets to be interesting. So we will take another break. We are past the bottom of the hour. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games. We got everything you want. How do we know the names? We are the people that can find whatever you may need. If you've got the money, honey, we got your disease. In the jungle. Welcome to the jungle. What's it bring you to your mind?
A little Guns N' Roses to keep things moving.
That's right, man. Just wake you up.
Yeah, get the Friday party mode going.
Yeah, welcome to the jungle.
Just turn that up as loud as you can when you're driving over to San Diego, would you?
Here's, you know, people asking a big question. Markets, for the most part, at a high, depending on the day. But, you know, how things are going. And from our perspective, we still think the glass is still more half full than empty. And, you know, depends, you know, if someone gets into the office, there could be a little bit of a you know, Trump rally for, you know, 3 to 6 months, give or take. But it's always going to go back to the GDP number. And, you know, some of the things that they're talking of doing, I mean, I'd be amazed if they do, because it just, it's unbelievable. But as far as, you know, cutting some of the government overhead off, you know, pretty quickly. Have you heard that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about eliminating some of the, you know, bringing, making all the education go back to the states,
okay,
which would eliminate, I mean, think of all the jobs up in D.C. for education.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a huge move. The EPA, they want to kind of gut, right? You don't think that would happen? No, Russ isn't going to happen?
No, I was telling him no on something else. I gave him some misinformation a while
he
ago.
He did.
I gave him some misinformation. I was trying to straighten it out.
I think he misspelled something.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know what's kind of interesting to me is, you know, Vivek, I can't, his last name?
Yeah.
He's still been campaigning, right? I mean, this guy's still going around. And, you know, there's talks he might go Ohio governor, I believe. But he was saying that if they cut the government jobs, if he had to do it, you know, his main thing was, you know, you can get sued, right? Because you cut somebody who mm-hmm. didn't deserve it, whatever. He was saying you get a coin, you flip it, heads or tails, and you say if your last digit on your Social Security card ends in even or odd, you're done. Like, end of story. Then he was saying, you know, that cut half of the people out. And if you think about it, like with X, Elon came in and cut 80% of the staff,
yeah,
and they functioned.
That was amazing.
Yeah, but I have a feeling some of the government entities are the same way, don't you think? Like, they can run on half the staff.
Or less.
Yeah, or less. So,
yeah.
So his idea was to do that. And then he said you can rehire the ones that the group that's still intact could basically say, no, we need that guy. He's key. You know, and they can then rehire the ones they want to bring mm-hmm. back. But it's pretty amazing out of the box decision making there.
I don't hate it. I mean, again, I think there's lots of ways we could do it if we just have the stomach to do it.
Well, if you think about it, if they're not going to cut, you know, if they keep spending, then the other way to get the deficit down is to basically cut overhead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to keep spending, great, but we'll keep cutting on the other side and kind of balance out. But
we should, but we never do that. You know, and again, it's like most of the time the politicians get involved, and then the corporate structure, even though you and I know it's government, the corporate structure grows and grows and defends itself. And, you know, I mean, let's talk about governmental budgeting. You, as a small business owner, you budget and make sure that you spend less and leave more money in the bottom line. Most of the governmental budgeting is, hey, we're allocated this $1 million. We have to spend $1 million or even a little more, so we get that much next year, because
yeah,
they're going to cut if we don't use it.
Yeah.
No, you don't need to waste the money.
Yeah, very inefficient.
You know, I remember, you know, even some of the old stuff here locally. Hey, if we don't spend this money by X time, then we're going to reduce the allocation we have next year. So what else do we need to buy and store it and stash it so it's
purchased? Or even hire people that technically, you know, you got two people to do one job just because they're trying to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
So
now there's a ton of stuff that we need to pay attention to. The tax plans, how many people do you think are going to take the time and effort to read that the way you did?
Probably not enough, right? We're 10 days out, and I've been asking a couple of people, hey, tell me the difference between the two tax plans, and, you know, 85% look at me strange, you know.
Because they don't have it and they don't see it. They're already committed to, I'm voting for this person or this person. They're not looking at the underlying facts.
Just because of a TikTok video?
Yes. and by the way, you had a great video on there, too. That was good.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wasn't you dancing with the blow-up chicken?
I don't think so.
I think maybe that was him. Yeah.
No, thought it was.
No.
So, you know, again, 10 days left. Do you believe the market is going to react better, worse, more aggressive, more conservative over the next 10 days because we're leading up to an election?
Well, I think the market's kind of already pricing in who's going to win. So I think my money's on Trump. And I think the market's already responding to it. And then if it is, it'd be interesting to see, you know, because everyone says they're going to do stuff, try to get in the office, and then it goes quiet. But if he implements some things in the next 30 to 90 days, and he even says, I think he wants to come in with a splash where he's going to do certain things pretty quick. So who knows? It could cause things to rally pretty good, maybe, you know, more than 25 might be another good year. I mean, 24 is shaping up to look really promising. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless something big happens, but so yeah, that's my take. I think there's more legs in this thing to run.
So stock market in the last 60, 90 days is up how much?
Don't quote me on this, but it's probably up 8%, 9%. You know, 8%. July took a pretty good hit. July dropped about 8%, mm-hmm. and now we're at a high, so it's probably up maybe 12%. I mean, I don't get...
You're talking about that, and that's the reason I bring that up is, again, the bond market and the equity market generally, not always, but generally work in opposite. So you're now continuing to go higher, all-time highs. Why over the last 3 to 4 weeks has the bond market, meaning mortgage market, gotten worse and worse and worse? Because, again, what you're just talking about is money is flowing out of bonds and into the equities market. It's interesting to watch the money. It's like a siphon. It's going into one and out of the other, or back out of that, back into this one. It's just chasing the money back and forth.
It's almost like flip, you know, you do a little sand glass where you flip it over and it goes the other way, and then you flip it back.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying that our industries are very almost opposite.
Generally,
right?
They are polar opposite. If I'm celebrating interest rates, you're like over there wallowing in the mud, crying about the market going down. And when you're smiling like you are now, the market's really good. I'm watching my customers lose more money because the market is getting worse and worse for everybody who hasn't purchased yet. So just kind of interesting. Very rarely do they both work positively or negatively at the same time. And unfortunately, that's either, you know, overseas turmoil or the Fed stepping in to do things that they did for quantitative easing stuff.
Is there talk in the industry about if you guys are thinking about taking payment in with Bitcoin? Is that even out there?
Not to any large scale. There are some small servicers that have talked about, could you implement it? But at this point, I don't know of any major servicer that's doing it.
Yeah. Well, I think now that Bitcoin's kind of okay on Wall Street, there's a lot of ETFs that, you know, backed by the Bitcoin. I think that's going to slowly be implemented into transactional businesses. Mm-hmm. Like even someone like me, if they said, hey, I'm not going to write you a check to open an account, but I'm going to send you 2 Bitcoins. At this point, I can't do anything with that. But there will probably be a point where I can, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So probably same in your industry. If someone wants to pay down, you know, bring money in to cover their mortgage with the down payment of a Ether or Bitcoin, I think it's coming.
Now, at some point, so now when you say down payment, that's different than taking payments. We can show the asset. So clearly you can show a 2-month history of Bitcoin or something else. So in terms of assets, I have to prove that you've owned it for 2 months. You could see it, but I would have to have proof of liquidation and move it over to something because it's transactionally traded. Not unlike, you know, if you had 100 shares of General Electric. Okay, if I'm going to use that as your down payment, you still have to liquidate it because it's going to trade differently every day. You have to move that into dollars. So now I validate the dollars for the down payment. So in terms of assets, absolutely we can use that, but you have to have it liquidated and moved into a cash account that is finite.
Yeah. I'm on the Diocese of Tucson Foundation Board, and one of the projects they gave me, since I'm a financial guy, is to look at what companies would accept any of the digital coins, because they're thinking that people are going to start donating in the future with those kind of things. So that was companies that basically will catch the money, and it's actually a nonprofit because you donate money, it has to go to a nonprofit to get the write off, and then they liquidate immediately, and then they move the money in about 5 days to the nonprofit they want to give to. So like a middleman.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we had to search around and figure out, you know, who does it, what's the cost. Interesting thing.
What is the cost of that?
Well, it's not cheap. When it's all in on both sides, it's about 7%. So that means if you gave $1 million, they'd run you about $70,000.
paid to that nonprofit?
Also, there's like 3.5% that goes to the nonprofit they keep, and then the other 3.5% is a company that's going to sell the Bitcoin. That's their commission.
Basically, the broker dealer.
Yeah, so it's higher. Okay. But remember in the old days, I think like in the 60s and 70s, I think when you bought and sold stock, your commission was like 3%. I mean, it was a high number, maybe higher, you know, when that came out, and then they slowly got the price down. So it's probably going to be the same with those things, you know, 10, 15 years from now, it would be cut in half probably price. So.
So lots coming up. We got 10 days till an election. You're at an all-time high. We're getting higher rates. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks.
Yeah, it should. And, you know, the interesting thing, which no one's really talking about because presidency, you know, takes over, is what's going to happen with the houses. You know, if the houses are going to be split again or stay split or carry over.
Russ, what's your prediction?
As far as the houses?
Yeah.
Do I think the prices are going to go up?
No. Hey, what are you? Get off the phone with your wife here. We're doing a radio show here.
House and the Senate. Come on. Congressional.
Yeah, the Senate and the Congress. Are they going to be split again?
It'll be 52 senators, and we'll gain a few in the House, too.
So it'll be dope Republican, you think?
Yeah.
Dang. So, when's the last time we had all Republicans in the executive branch in the House? Who was that?
Probably. I know Reagan did, but. I don't know.
I think it was that far.
Was Bush? Did Bush have it for a short time?
I think he had one
two-year period.
Yeah. And nothing got done, really.
No. But, well, Carter was in for 4 years. All Democrats got nothing got done. It's not a guarantee.
Yeah.
But it's a guarantee something bad could happen sometimes, you know.
Yeah, but if you really wanted to push an agenda, if you're a pretty aggressive person, which I think Trump seems to be pretty, he could probably get a lot of stuff moved through, huh?
Yeah. I think 52 senators is what it's looking like right now. And the House will gain a few seats, too. I mean, it's going to be close in the House, too. It's not going to be.
But see, nowadays, too, like, there's a group of Republicans that sometimes vote Democrat and vice versa. There's
very
a mix,
few anymore.
But that's kind of a mix. Well, the Senate, not as much. But I think in the House, there's.
Not so much. Especially when Nancy Pelosi was there. I mean, if you were a Democrat and you voted against Nancy Pelosi.
You'd get whacked.
Yeah. You'd end up in the basement office. You know?
Yeah.
No windows, and you wouldn't be on any. Boards or
committees. I just watched a podcast on was it Krista Sirma? Was she the
Kristen Sirma?
Yeah. What's she doing now? Because she's no longer.
I haven't heard, but she'll find someplace to go. She's a talented lady.
But she talked about her getting squeezed in the middle.
Well, she was because she tried to be independent.
Yeah. But
An
she talked about
Democrat,
that.
It couldn't happen.
Her wording, she's going to land somewhere. She's going to try to do something. She'll be back in the picture somewhere.
Well, and I talked to all these politicians going in and says, well, parties don't matter. I'm independent. And says, well, you don't understand what goes on in Washington then. Because there's such pressure that you vote with it. I mean, that's what the whips do. The whips start calling and say, okay, we need this pass. Can we count on you? Can't count on you.
That's why they say whip.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard. If you're a Democrat or Republican, you're expected. Or if you caucus, if you're an independent, you're going to caucus with one or the other.
And I do want to give a shout out to Russ because we actually were in a bowling tournament for the Yuma pageant, right? The scholarship pageant. And I thought, you know, across the board in every sport, you know, I'd be able to. Take Russ pretty simple. Hey, Russ is a bowler.
No. First time I bowled in 20 years.
Yeah, I don't bowl either, but I looked at the scoreboard. And I think he got me most of those games. Not by much, but.
Yeah, just.
Well, did he get into triple digits? I mean.
I think my last one was 175 or something. Yeah, 171.
I think we're about 130, 140 is the norm. Yeah, and then, you know, sometimes you get.
I think.
You guys need to go bowling more often together.
No, it's not my game, you know.
I actually enjoyed it. I don't go that often, but it was fun.
I think working out, the gym.
Yeah.
I just didn't wear out. I got stronger as I went.
So you actually didn't use the 6-pound kiddie ball? You went to a more adult ball?
I went
to
the adult bar version.
That's one of those guys that just throws it as hard as he can down the thing.
That's exactly
speed,
right.
Speed knocks us down, right?
Speed kills.
I actually showed the speed limit on the ball. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was cool, yeah.
What?
Yeah, the speed limit on the ball when it hits.
Yeah, when it now it shows you what your speed is.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, so who's faster?
Like speed wise?
He
is.
Yeah.
I'd like control.
I had to sometimes slow. If I don't like, care about control.
There's like two pins left down there. Like I literally throw it like at a third of the speed and you can see if you can, you know, slowly hit it. Because all you got to do is hit it and knocks over, right?
I did slow down. I was throwing as hard as I could. I was throwing it hard. And I had to slow down a little bit. So I slowed it down.
More control. You know what messed me up was my fingertips. I'm a wimp. Like towards the end, they were all like getting chapped and like, I didn't get a blister, but.
Well, Russ has been working out. He'll show you how to work out and get stronger.
I need help.
Okay, so the bowling tournament, what was this for?
The pageant. Okay.
Raising money.
Scholarship pageant. And it was crowded. There were tons of people.
Yeah. It was good.
I'm very hats off to that organization. They work hard, do a great job, and the pageant's coming up another week or two.
What else have we got going on in town? 15th, 16th, 17th of November, Balloon Festival.
Yeah.
So
tomorrow's a bike run to the mayor's bike run to Mexico. 25 miles. Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Got the electric bike or real bike?
He's got it charged all the way up.
It's right out here in the hallway.
A couple batteries in the back so you can recharge.
Yeah,
I'm going to
put my cooler in there with a couple beers and I'm gone, man.
So no pedaling for Russ.
No, I pedaled.
So did you go last year?
Yeah, not last year, the year before.
How many is it? 100 people, couple hundred bikers? Or?
Yeah, it'll be 200, 250. It's all police escort.
Oh, yeah?
You know, it's hilariously fun.
Yeah.
Why do you say
hilariously fun?
Well, because you stop every 5 miles to take a break, you talk and interact, and all the mayors will be there from Yuma County as well as in Mexico, south of the border. And then once you get to the border, you go into the border, and they'll police escort from in Mexico. It's only a few blocks in, and they have a block.
Come when you cross the border, they give you like a tequila shot, and you got to do it while you're doing your bike.
No, you got to go two blocks, and then you get the tequila.
Carry your bike back.
So you go down there, a couple blocks, and then what?
They have the road blocked off for a party, a live band, dancing girls, food, free beers.
Aren't you worried about your bike getting heisted?
There were police officers all over the place.
Oh,
they wouldn't let anybody walk in there except unless you were with the crowd.
Yeah. You're going to bring your bike lock, right?
Nope. Didn't have to. And then we're escorted right back to the border, and they opened up a special lane for us, and we shot right across to the United States again.
So from it starts downtown?
Starts at the Civic Center.
Okay. How long does it take to literally cross the border?
Like, oh, man, it takes a couple hours because we stop every 5 miles.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so you're averaging 10 miles an hour, you know, a couple hours to get down there, 3 hours, but.
I see.
You know, get down there for lunch, have a great lunch, and then I call somebody to meet me in the parking lot in San Luis, Arizona.
With a truck.
With a truck, and just throw it in there, and I'm gone. I sleep in the backseat.
Is that sleep or pass out rest?
Some of it. Yeah, a little bit of both.
You could defer your San Diego trip. You can jump on a bike and do that.
You guys are out of time. You got to go.
No. Hey, we'll be back next weekend. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m. Have a great weekend.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
The flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC registered investment advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.